So in Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of the parasha, we have Kabbalah Satorah. And I'd like to talk to you about Kabbalah Satorah and share with you something that I heard many, many years ago from one of my Rebbeim, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Shlita. And I think we should call it past, present, and future, because Kabbalah Satorah is something that links the past with the present and certainly with the ultimate redemption for which we long in the future. We're going to start with the Kedusha of Musaf according to Nusach Sfarad. That's very popular in this part of the world, so that's good. And this Kedusha in Musaf on Shabbos is called Keser. And it starts with Keser Yitnu Lecha Malach Asharis. And in that Kedusha, there's a prayer for the ultimate redemption, the Gula Asidum. And it says the following: V'hu Yoshienu, V'yigolenu, V'yashmienu Shenis, Liene Kolchai Lemar, Hein Go'alti Eschem Achris Kereshis, Lios Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Let's try to translate that into Loazit, into English. He will save us and redeem us. And He will let us hear a second time, in the presence of all living creatures, "Behold, I have redeemed you in later times, as in earlier times, to be Elohim to you." In other words, there was once a revelation, which was Li'ene Kol Chai. And now we're asking for a second such revelation. That should be Li'ene Kol Chai. The reference here in the first case is to Maivet Har Sinai, the Aseres HaDibros. The Yashmienu, let us hear a second time. The first time we heard it at Matan Torah. Now we're praying for the ultimate Gula at the end of days, the ultimate redemption. And once again, Achris Kereshis, the last one, like the first one, should be Li'ene Kol Chai. What is this concept of Li'ene Kol Chai? What is its significance? We want to refer to a Medrash Rabbah in Breishis that says that when Hashem gave the Torah, the small birds did not chirp, the larger birds did not fly, the animals did not let out their cries, their quacks, and their moos, etc. The angels did not fly, and they ceased, the angels ceased from reciting the prayer and the praise, Kadosh, Kadosh, Holy, Holy. The sea was totally motionless. No creatures spoke. The world was silent. And the voice of God cried out, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's what it was like, according to Chazal, at the time of Achris, of Reishis, excuse me, of the first revelation of Maimon Har Sinai. Now, in the Kedusha, we are praying for a second revelation, the same magnitude. Once again, the voice of Hashem will be heard in the very same way, Li'ene Kol Chai, in the presence of all living creatures, a revelation like the earlier one, Lios Lachem Lelokim. And therefore, we're asking that at the culmination of the redemption period, there should be something similar to Maimon Har Sinai. Apparently, at Maimon Har Sinai, which was the final stage, the ultimate Geula of Mitzrayim, that reached the level of a Gilui, of a revelation, Li'ene Kol Chai, and we are asking for a revelation, a redemption, like that first one, that should be Li'ene Kol Chai. What's it all about? Why is this emphasis on Li'ene Kol Chai of all the aspects of Maimon Har Sinai, Li'ene Kol Chai? Let's put this on the side for a moment. In the laws of Hilchos Pesach, in the Shulchan Aruch, at the very end, we find the laws of Chag HaShavuos. Where do you look for the laws of Chag HaShavuos? At the end of Hilchos Pesach. According to our minhag, we call Chag HaShavuos Chag Matan Torasenu. But let's ask a question. Can we describe Shavuos as Matan Torah Seder, the holiday of the giving of the Torah? Actually, in the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Peivav, the Gemara quotes two opinions about when the Torah was given. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. So how then on the 6th of Sivan, on Chag HaShavuos, can we describe the day as Chag Matan Torah Seder? Every single Moed has an appointed time. The Tfilos were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and they indicate and they reflect on the special nature of each Moed, on the Kedushas HaYom that's unique to that Moed. What should be the Nusach of Shavuos? What should describe Shavuos? If not for our minig of Matan Torah Seder, what would be the alternative?
Chag Asif.
Maybe Chag Asif. Every Chag that we find in the Torah was established with a set calendar date. The only exception is Chag HaShavuos. It's 50 days after Pesach. And the Torah never specifies any connection between Matan Torah and Shavuos.
It's just a count.
It's just a count. It's the end of the count. So we're really connecting Shavuos, not with Matan Torah per se, but really with Pesach. That's why the Torah calls it Atzeres. Atzor lePesach, kimoshi yesh yom hashmini, chag hatzor lesukkos. The word Atzeres means a place that's, we call a gathering place. It's a place of atzor. Atzor means halt, stop moving. It implies that anything that was in motion all of a sudden comes to a stop. That's Atzeres. Shavuos is the Atzeres of Pesach. Shavuos should not be described as man, as man Matan Torasenu, but rather as man Cheruseinu. Because in truth, this is the culmination of the Cherus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos is the 50th day after Yetzias Mitzrayim. The primary text of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah for Shavuos was probably Zman Cheruseinu, but our minhag is to say Zman Matan Torasenu. Although it's different in formulation, but it's really identical in content, because Matan Torah is really Cherus. The essence of Cherus, of freedom, is Geula. The culmination of Geula is Cherus. Let's go back to the burning bush, to the Maisa Asneh. Hashem indicates that at the end of the process of Geula, Bnei Yisrael will stand in front of Hashem at Har Sinai, at the end of the Geula, I mean from Mitzrayim, to receive the Torah. And the Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer, ki yaye imcha v'zelecha la'os, ki anochi shlachticha, bo'tziacha es ha'ami Mitzrayim ta'avdunas elokim al ahar hazeh. The final stage, the ultimate redemption from Egypt, is the acceptance of Avodas Hashem, the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs of the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai.
That's what you're doing, Shavuos.
And that's what Shavuos is all about. Shavuos is really the ultimate culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because already at the Sneh, Hashem indicates that the end of this process of Geula is standing in front of Hashem at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. That's what Shavuos is all about. That's why Zman Matan Torah Seinu is really the same as Zman Cheruseinu. They're identical. Cherus and Geula is the same as Matan Torah. And if you take a look in Shmos, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. What does chamushim mean? So if you take a look in Chazal, it says that the theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim appears in the Torah 50 times. Chamushim equals 50. Yetzias Mitzrayim is indicated by the number 50. Why 50? What's so important about the number 50? And yet we know that there's another counting of 50. The 50 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the conclusion of the redemption with Matan Torah. On the 50th day, the day of Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah Seinu, the day of the ultimate redemption, the epitome and the conclusion of Cheirus. Chazal say, Ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osek batorah. If you want to get Cheirus, you want to define Cheirus, it's someone who's dedicated to Torah. So now we have a very fine equation. Number one, redemption, which is Cheirus, equals Torah. The last of the 50 gates of the Shari Chochmah, the Shari Bina, is the gate of Torah. It's the ultimate stage of Geula. It begins with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It culminates with Chag HaShavuos, with the giving of the Torah, as we achieve the 50th gate of Chochmah. And now we can begin to explain perhaps what Li'enei Kol Chai is all about. Let's point out that immediately following the Aseres HaDibros, the Pasuk says, if you open up to Shavuos, Perek Chof, Pasuk Hezvav, the Pasuk says the following, right after the Aseres HaDibros. V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos ves ha'lapidim. They saw kolos. Kolos means sounds. What does that mean? They saw sounds? Can you see sounds? Does this pasuk make any sense?
It's a level beyond nature.
Okay, maybe. Furthermore, what is the need for this miracle? What's its purpose? To see sounds. It represents a complete change, an alteration in the laws of nature, the order of nature, but it's something that we can't possibly comprehend. How can you see sounds? V'chol amro ives hakolos. So what does it add to us? What does it give to us? Why did the Torah emphasize this? We can't even comprehend it. But we already mentioned before the Medrash in Brachos, that at the moment of Matan Torah, the entire creation ceased its movement. Everything stood still in total silence to hear the voice of Hashem. At that hour, there was only one thing that was animate, that was animated, that was alive. And that was the voice of Hashem, the Kol Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The deeper meaning of this idea is that every process in the world leads to a certain conclusion. It goes in a certain direction. Every movement, every motion advances towards a particular purpose, a goal, a place. There's a deliberate intention inherent in all movement towards a destination, a goal, a place. When Hashem reveals the true purpose of the world, then the world has arrived at its destination. It has reached its goal. Therefore, everything previously moving comes to a halt. Everything stops. There's an end. There's a point of termination. God created the world, and the ultimate goal of the world is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Matan Torah is like a bright light. Everything becomes clear. Motion comes to a halt. Every part of the universe that has been directed and moving towards a goal now reaches that destination. Thus, the entire creation, comprehending its goal, comes to a halt. Pure silence. And the voice is heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Bnei Yisrael saw and heard this revelation in all its power. V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos. Ramas HaKolos, the entire creation, understood that there was nowhere to go. There's no room for chaos and movement. Everything had arrived at its destination, its purpose. And there's no such thing as movement without purpose. Movement is always goal-oriented. Otherwise the world is tohu vavohu, it's chaotic. Purposeless movement means chaos. So from Matan Torah on, what happens? If the world has reached its culmination, its goal, its destination, if everything is silent and the voice of God is heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then there's got to be some sort of new purpose to the world, new movement. But once the revelation has occurred, Once the world has arrived at its ultimate purpose, its tachlis, then the question must be raised from this point and on: what is the basis and the purpose of movement in the world? Up until Matan Torah, the purpose of the world was to reach that revelation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What now? What's the new world about? The new movement of the universe. With Matan Torah, the process that had begun with creation, the process that all of creation was meant to lead up to culminate with, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, had reached its fruition. Now, a new process begins. What is this new process? The Gemara at the beginning of Kiddushin on Daf Beis Amid Beis says that Torah is called Derech. HaDerech Asher Yelchu Ba. This Derech is a new process, and it serves as the purpose for the entire creation following the Gilui, the revelation of Har Sinai. And now we have to understand that there are two distinct systems or modes of perception through which we human beings grasp reality. One is called Re'iya, sight, and the other is called Shmia, hearing. The difference between the two is the following. Hearing always involves perceiving a process. In other words, when we hear, we don't hear one single complete whole thing. We hear shorter sounds, smaller sounds, and then we integrate them into a larger whole. You hear sequences, and the mind grasps the point. It's a process. Sight is just the opposite. The eye does not see a process. If it did, it wouldn't be able to perceive. What the eye sees when something is in motion is blurred. The image is blurred. The object is not clearly perceived. Only when the eyes can see something static, something stationary, can it perceive with a high measure of clarity.
That's not true. Cartoons.
The eye perceives blocks of a building, one block on top of another. It perceives all of the many at once. It's not like hearing, where you hear in sequence, one little piece after the other, and you have to integrate them. In the eye, in perception of sight, you perceive the whole, the entire entity. Hearing is just the opposite. You cannot hear two voices at the same time. But when you see two blocks of a building, one on top of the other, you see a unit. The sense of hearing cannot perceive a total, single unit, a totality at once. In the case of sight, it's just the opposite. Each of these two sense perceptions is unique. Each represents a different approach. The written Torah, the Torah Shebichtav, is parallel to the perception of sight. It can be perceived by the eye. You can see Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav is something that's complete in and of itself. What you require is the perception of a complete thing, and that's symbolized by the perception of sight. The oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is just the reverse. It's a process. It's a logical sequence. It's one idea that follows after another idea. And this is represented by the perception of Shmiah, of hearing. What was the great miracle of Har Sinai? Is that Bnei Yisrael saw that which is heard. Shomim es hanira. And yet, at the same time, they heard that which is seen. Roim hanishma. Whatever was a process in the world until that point reached its conclusion, and the reality was perceived as a complete unity. That entire process was now seen. They were roe es hakolos. The perception of hearing was now converted into sight. In one single clear picture, everything was understood. All those things that were in motion and process, that's the nishma, now were perceived as one whole, stationary object, as a nireh. That's called roim es hanishma. All of existence, which had heretofore been a process, reached a state of perfection. It became a complete, unified whole. At this point, a new process begins. Following the emergence of the new reality of re'iyah, there would also be shmiah. Things that were seen, that was perceived as complete, as complete entities, now became processes in and of themselves. That which was perceived as re'iyah would now be perceived by way of shmiyah. Can we find some sort of source in the Torah within the parish of Maimon Har Sinai for these two processes? One process which arrives at its destination, and the other process which begins a new movement, a new process, a new spring of energy? The source is the two blasts of the shofar. In Dvarim, Perek Hey, Pasuk Yutes, immediately following the Aseres HaDibros of Parshas Veschanan, the Pasuk describes the Kol Gadol Velo Yosef, the great sound of the shofar that did not get any stronger. Velo Yosef. The Ramban explains that this was a Kol Shofar, that this was a shofar that was shava. Shava means it would not change. It would not cease. It was a very strong shofar blast. But there was another shofar blast. And this is in Shmos, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes. Kol shofar holech v'chazek mi'od. It's a shofar that gets stronger and stronger. The word mi'od means that it's a sound which continues and constantly grows stronger and stronger. If you remember the Medrash, the entire world stopped in total silence and heard the word of Hashem. That emanated from the Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef, the Kol which was constant, that didn't change. It didn't get stronger or louder. It's an expression of the fact that we've reached the end of a process, the end of the road, a cessation of motion. This is Re'iyah. The new process, which began at Matan Torah, emanated from the second kol, the kol holech v'chazak ma'od, the kol of a process. This is the kol of Shmiah. Thus, ro'im anishma, they saw that which we normally hear, that's inherent in kol gadol v'lo yosef. But shomim hanireh, to hear that which is seen, to make that which is static into a process, that's inherent in kol holech v'chazak ma'od. There was a breakthrough at Har Sinai, a new beginning. And from that point and on, the process continues to intensify and becomes chazak ma'od. The process will become more and more intense until it finally reaches its fruition with the ultimate geula at the end of days. In order to comprehend the nature of this new process, we have to study the words of Rashi on Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Yishakenu v'nishikos piyu, ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Rashi explains, Shenasan lahem toraso v'diber imahem ponim el ponim v'osam dodim arevim alechem mikol shashua uvtochim meito lofia od alechem levar lahem sod ta'ame umistar. He gave the people his Torah. Face to face he spoke to them. And his love is more pleasant to them than any earthly pleasure. He promised to reveal himself to his people once again, to explain to them the secrets, the underlining meanings of the Torah, and to reveal its hidden profundities. This is the revelation that we're praying for. Another revelation to reveal the secrets and the hidden meanings of the Torah. How did Rashi know of this promise? The source must be found within the parasha of Maimon Har Sinai. The answer is the kol holech v'chazak ma'od, the symbol of a new process, which like the first one, will culminate in revelation, the racham of shenis li'enei kol chai. In a number of places, Chazal say that the shofar of Maimed Har Sinai is the shofar of the Geula. The sounds of the shofar at Har Sinai will be heard again at the time of the fulfillment of our prayer, Teka b'shofar Gadol L'Cheruseinu. The process which began at Har Sinai will continue to develop, Holech v'chazak, until the revelation of the secrets of the Torah. The original counting from the beginning of Gulas Mitzrayim until its completion at Har Sinai was limited to 7 weeks, 49 days. The number 50 is, of course, beyond the final boundary. 7 weeks of 7 days, 49. 50 goes beyond. That's the number which doesn't belong to the series of numbers, to the various cycles of seven. The essence of Chag HaShavuos is Zman Cheruseinu. On this day, we arrive at the 50th gate of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the number of Ma'od. The Mem is 40, the Aleph is 1, the Vav is 6, the Dalet is 4. Of course, in Gematria, the number corresponding to Aleph is often discounted. But if we add 40 to 10, we get 50, and the Aleph discounted. This symbolizes transcending beyond the boundaries. Shavuos is the Atzeres of Pesach. It's the point of cessation, where the process of Cheres Mitzrayim reaches its culmination, the Shofar Gadol V'lo Yosaf. Following the 50, there's a new beginning. Kol Shofar Holech V'Chazak Ma'od. This will ultimately lead to the final revelation, in which the entire Torah, its hidden meaning, its profundities will be revealed. And we repeat the prayer over and over, Shainisli Eini Kol Chai. What does it mean? Just as all living creatures stopped and saw with Re'iyah at the first redemption, Ro'im Es HaKolos, we ask Hashem that once again all that is happening in the universe should come to its conclusion, to stop, halt, at the time of the ultimate redemption. Now we live in a world of gullus, of exile, of religious confusion, a world that's full of sheker, so far from seeing the truth and the clarity. Even sometimes students of the Torah are far from some deep and profound knowledge of the Torah. We don't have the secrets of the Torah. But the world will see. Kiderech Shakodesh Baruch Hu Hofia B'Sof HaGolos Rishona B'Anochi Hashem Elokecha Liene Kol Chai Kach Anu Mevakshim Shiofia Achris Kereshis Oda Pam Liene Kol Chai. We know that the sounds of the shofar are getting louder and louder. We are praying for the ability to hear these sounds, to hear the voice of Hashem at the time of the ultimate Geul of Cherus. Hashem revealed Himself at Har Sinai. We long, we crave to re-experience Maimed Har Sinai. To accept the Torah, we must feel as if we don't possess the Torah. It's lacking. We don't have it. We're going to receive the Torah now, the way Bnei Yisrael received it at Har Sinai, to feel Kihem Chayenu, the Orach Yomenu, in the Kabbalah Menasa Torah Mutov, the Torah is the source of our existence, Kihem Chayenu. It's our ability to experience the absolute truth. Without Maimed Har Sinai, the world is Sheker. And there are so many psukim that indicate that it's essential for one to prepare for Kabbalah Menasa Torah. Torah is received through a profound emotional preparation. The process that began with Maimed Har Sinai, we hope, is close to its end, to its conclusion. And now the question is, who amongst us can achieve the goal of preparing for the new Maimed Har Sinai? Who can make himself worthy of absorbing, of understanding, of internalizing something of that shofar gadol, shaholech v'chazak mi'od, which in truth is to be heard as it grows louder and louder? Who can perceive the movement towards the final geula? Only one who succeeds in hearing the shofar of Har Sinai will be able, will be fit to perceive the great shofar that will herald the ultimate redemption. V'hoya b'yom ahu yitoka b'shofar gadol, the shofar of Cherus. And once again, It will be achris kereshis li'enei kol chai hein ga'alti eschem achris kereshis li'os lachem le'lokim. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we read about the establishment of a bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. If you open up to Perek Chav Dalid, Psukim Aleph Tehei, Hashem tells Moshe to ascend the mountain, you and Aaron, Nadav and Aviv, the 70 Zekanim, and the people responded with one unified voice, and they said, all the words with Hashem has spoken, Nasa we shall do. Moshe rose in the morning, he built the altar, he brought the sacrifices. When did this occur? The conclusion of the covenant, the bringing of the sacrifices, did it take place before or after the giving of Matan Torah? The Ten Commandments were given in Parshas Yisro. Here, we're at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. So there's a gigantic controversy in Machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban regarding this issue. According to Chazal, especially the Gemara increases on Daf Tes, Rashi quotes it here at the end of Mishpatim, this event is the completion of Gerus, the process of conversion of the entire nation of Israel. According to Rashi, the people completed their Gerus by means of bringing the Karban Ager, the sacrifices, before they received the Torah, and therefore Rashi says, Ein Mukdam Umukhar B'Torah. This parsha at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Karban Ager had to take place on the 5th of Sivan, prior to Matan Torah, because it would be absolutely paradoxical to assume that the Torah was given to a people who had not yet completed their Gerus, a status they can only achieve by bringing the sacrifices. Therefore, Rashi maintains that the command to go up, which we see here in Perek Chav Dalid, was addressed to Moshe on the 4th day of Sivan, before Matan Torah. The covenant, the bris, and the sacrifice took place on the 5th of Sivan. And then, we're ready for Matan Torah. The Gerus is complete. And Rashi flexes the muscle of Ein Mukdam Umiuchar Bator. We know that the Ramban doesn't really tolerate that. He believes that we have to maintain the integrity of the Torah, the sequence of the Psukim, and therefore, he, the Ramban, declares that this parsha, the parsha of Bris, took place after the giving of the Torah, on the second day of Shavuos, on the 7th day of Sivan. In other words, according to Ramban's position, the Aseres Hadibros were given on the 6th of Sivan, but the Gerus was only completed on the 7th of Sivan by means of the Karbanos Hager, the sacrifices that were brought. The Ramban quotes a Machlokes Tanoim on this issue, but his position is clearly that the Karban Hager was brought after Matan Torah. And although we might accept the Ramban on a level of Parshanut, he explains the secrets of the Psukim, but conceptually, halakhically, his position is very difficult. Why would Almighty God reveal Himself to the people and give the Aseres Hadiros before they became Gerim? That's very odd. I would like to share with you something I heard from Rav Soloveitchik many years ago. My Rebbe said that the entire event of Matan Torah, if you be careful about the reading, the Psukim emphasize two distinct aspects. First, the giving of the Torah, teaching the people its laws, the substance of the Torah, and number two, seeing the Shekhinah. Hashem says, if you take a look in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Tes, gather the people so that they will believe in me all their days. If it were only a case of giving the law, Moshe would have received the Torah from Almighty God and repeated it to them, transmitted it to the people. However, it says the people will see Hashem from amidst the fire. Why was it necessary to emphasize that Hashem's words would come out of the fire? Apparently, the purpose of Matan Torah was not only to pass on to the people the knowledge of the law, but also that they experience the meeting, the rendezvous with Hashem. the making of the laws binding upon the people could have been achieved through Moshe's agency. But every Jew must personally see and experience the presence of Hashem, the fire, the clouds, the thunder. These are all indicative of the Shekhinah. On Shavuos we celebrate not only the giving of the law, but the experiencing of the Shekhinah as well. The Shofar section in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah actually revolves around the revelation of Shavuos. Ata Neglesa, we declare, God, you have revealed thyself in order to speak to the people of Israel. Out of the heaven, you made them hear your voice to perceive your glory, which was revealed to them in the clouds of Tohar, of purity. The whole world trembled at thy presence, and the works of creation stood in awe of thee when you revealed yourself at Har Sinai. This is the essence of Shofros. Thus, Har Sinai should be understood as a double experience, a twofold event. First, the people beheld the vision of Hashem, they were taught the law, and then there was the experience of Mitocha Esh, from amidst the fire, to experience Hashem's presence. In fact, the people only heard the first two of the Aseres Hadibros. The holiday of Atzeres, or Shavuos, is the day of assembly. Is the day when Jews assemble together and every Jew experiences the presence of Hashem, as if Hashem would touch him. This is what Hashem wanted, come close, as close as possible. Such an experience of a close, intimate encounter with Shekhinah has a cleansing, cathartic power. And therefore the Ramban says that the experience of Matan Torah reached its pinnacle when the presence of Hashem touched every Jew, so to speak, on his shoulder, redeemed and sanctified them, changed their personalities at that very moment. The experience of Shekhinah transformed the Jews. They became Gerim, not on the seventh day of Nisan, but on the sixth day of Nisan, at the moment when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. At that point they were purged through fire. They were elevated to great heights. Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu on the day after Matan Torah to subject the people to Geiris again, to create the altar and bring the sacrifices on the altar? The Jewish people had already fulfilled the mitzvah of immersion, of tefillah, of circumcision, of milah, which comprised the halachic process of gerus. All this was complete before Matan Torah. Thus, on the sixth day of Sivan, they became gerim. But on the seventh day, following the process of gerus, the bris was achieved. There was a special bris between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch on the seventh day that expressed itself through the karbonos that were brought. That's why Shavuos is called Atzeres, which means held over. Because in addition to receiving the law, to receiving the Torah, the Jewish people experienced the Shekhinah, the Kol Hashem Mitocha Esh. They entered into the bris. That's what the holiday of Atzeres indicates. Those twofold aspects to the experience of Matan Torah. Now, when we experience Shekhinah, from a halakhic point of view, there were Nevi'im who communicated with Hashem, experienced another world, the world of Nevuah, and we know that such persons existed on this world. We believe that these were the Nevi'im. And at the time of the Mashiach, perhaps every person will experience a kind of nevuah, a feeling of being enveloped by Ruach HaKodesh, by Hashem's Spirit. And that represents Geula. And in a certain sense, that Geula, that experience of Shekhinah, is so essential to the process of redemption. It's something that we long for. It's something that we pray for. There are mitzvahs which we perform that have an element of experience the Shekhinah. Talmud Torah, for example, has an element of experience the Shekhinah. Tefillah, when we stand b'kavana, lifnei Hashem, there's an aspect of experience the Shekhinah. But all these different phenomena, different opportunities, different mitzvahs, which allow us to experience Shekhinah, require preparation, require kavana, require us to prepare ourselves, to dedicate ourselves to experience that uplifting, cathartic, redemptive process. So Yehi Ratzon, may it be His will, that we will appreciate that experience of Shekhinah whenever we have the opportunity. We will long for and pray for the ultimate Geula, the ultimate Gilui Shekhinah that we will experience, and it should be Achris Kereshis, Li'enei Kol Chai. Amen.